WPFW, Washington.
Good evening and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. This is Mark Levine with...
Alan Nixon.
And...
Terry DeKester.
And we are collectively the Raucous Caucus, and I got a lot to talk about tonight, gentlemen.
What?
I got a lot to talk about.
Really? That's a lot to talk about, too?
That's so unlike you, Mark.
Yeah, there's a lot in the news, and what can I say? I'm upset. I'm sad. I'm angry, and this is my therapy session right here on the Raucous Caucus.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
right.
So I wanted
just
to share.
Put the cash out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Mark. Yeah.
I'm going to lie down on the couch.
Yeah. Oh, Mark, Terry and I will be good for your emotional state, all right, pal. Yeah. You think you got problems now.
You both have those goatees, so I think you look like psychiatrists. Let me tell you why I'm so
sad. Let me see your Medicare card.
Let me tell you why I'm so sad. Oh, no, don't you remember? They won't allow Medicare for all. I'm too young.
That's right, yeah.
I'm too young. I tried. I tried to get Medicare for people my age, but look, all right, I'm sad.
That old?
I'm not going
Wait a minute, Terry. Mark has taken his constitution out of his pocket and set it
on the table. I'm going to be referring to it
bad here.
Libya and the constitution?
No. Okay. The constitution is not about Japan. It's not about Libya. What the constitution is about is Maryland denying equal rights under the law to the people of Maryland. We're going to get to that in just a second. Three topics tonight.
Oh, good.
And, of course, people can always call in 202-588-0893 and join in on any of these three topics.
We're going to talk about bat fungus?
No. You can't call them
bat
fungus.
That's the only thing we're not talking about.
If you talk about bat fungus, we will hang up on you. Now, the first thing I want to talk
just
about.
Just checking.
Just really briefly.
You know we're all going to get malaria.
I'm not going there, Chuck. First thing I want to talk about is what's going on in Japan, because I think collectively the world's hearts break for what's going on in Japan. And I didn't think I could do a show without mentioning it. To me, the lesson to be learned in Japan is, don't put nuclear energy sites on fault lines. Now, I understand Japan kind of has to. Their whole country is on a fault line. But in the United States, we have, thankfully, and there was actually an article on this in the Washington Post, we have about 100 nuclear energy sites.
104.
There you go, 104. And as I recall, it said that about 100 or so are on safe places. I looked at them. They're the East Coast or the Plains. They're places that are not on fault lines and so forth.
Tornado Alley.
But we do have at least two that they talked about in Southern California. And look, if they can't withstand a 9.0 earthquake, we need to shut down the ones in California. I mean, if there's something we need to learn about Japan, I'm not saying I'm against nuclear energy. I'm all for green energy and wind and solar and geothermal. But we need to get nuclear energy off of fault lines, off of, as Garland said, Tornado Alley, off of places that are subject to massive hurricanes.
It's not worth the risk no matter where you put it. The fear I have about it, besides nuclear energy, 45 miles is the closest nuclear energy plant to Washington, D.C., by the way. One of the last tornadoes that came ripping through Maryland came within 2 miles of it. It was 180 miles winds in that tornado. Would certainly cut off all electrical power to it, and we'd see how their backup systems work. But, you know, the big fear now, if people are going to go right back, we got to use coal. We've got coal forever. And if they go back towards that, that's equally disastrous.
Well, coal leads to all kinds of arsenic and other things.
Yeah.
The other thing, we never talk about how many people die each year from the fact that we're burning all these fossil fuels.
Amen.
You know,
I mean,
look at the floods we've had in Australia, Pakistan, et cetera. There's a high number of people who die as a result of global warming, which is a direct result of burning all these fossil fuels. But let me add this. You know, I've moved in a direction now of saying I'm kind of against nuclear energy.
Me
First
too.
Of all, it only accounts for about 10% of the 10%, right around 10% of the overall energy that's created, by our electrical energy
in
the United States. Yeah. About 10%. And I say, we got to find another way to do 10%. And I understand the safety, et cetera, but here's the thing. When you look at Japan and you say, well, three bad things happened to them, right?
They're all caused by the same thing.
But let me say this. The earthquake and the tsunami might not be the worst of the three. I mean, think about that.
Yeah,
when it's all said and done, I mean, let's face it, you can go back and build a house on land. But the half-life of plutonium is, what, 30,000 years? You can't go back and move onto land that's, plutoniumized.
At Chernobyl, they're talking about 50 years before anybody can go back into that land back then.
Even worse.
Chernobyl, we know that people died within months. Just massive thousands of people of radiation sickness. The one thing, look, the people are going to disagree on nuclear power. I think we'd all...
Terry and I don't disagree, do we?
You're against it.
Reasonable people don't disagree on it.
This side of the table understands.
And solar power. I would love to see geothermal energy, but at some point we have some bad choices, right? Between nuclear and coal and oil, and they're all bad. I think the one thing that I know we all agree on, though, is don't build them on fault lines. Don't build them on places that are subject to earthquakes and tsunamis. Don't build them on places that are subject to hurricanes and tornadoes and
floodplains. But no matter what you do, you cannot eliminate human error, and human error is always going to contribute to any accident that ever happens. I mean, there's no such thing as fail safe. It just doesn't exist. And the risk and the consequences of nuclear fail are so long-reaching.
It's a dangerous way to boil water, isn't it, Terry?
It sure is.
Think about it, Terry, the point Terry made. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, when I was still dealing with emergency services in Maryland, I remember going down to La Plata, which isn't all that far away from Calvert Cliffs Power Plant, going down to La Plata, where a tornado had ripped right through the middle of the city. Just cut a hole right through the middle of the city. If that had cut a hole right through the middle of a nuclear power plant, you and I may be glowing in the dark right now. So in reality, when you think about it, think about if you're going to gamble with anything, think about the risk.
Yeah.
The risk is so high when it comes to nuclear. I mean, if one of those things melts down, Washington, Baltimore, D.C., this whole area is uninhabitable.
Yeah, and if you look
possibly.
And if you look at the map.
Well, it would have to melt down and break through both those.
But it's possible. It is quite possible.
And if you look at the maps, the concentration of nuclear plants is in the East Coast.
That's true. Yeah.
It's incredibly thick out here.
It's definitely in the East.
Yeah, and even state like Illinois has got 11.
So we need more hydroelectric power.
Yeah. Hydroelectric, geothermal, solar, it's all there.
For 10% of the country's power, is it really worth that?
I got a lot more to talk about. So, again, callers want to talk about that, they're welcome to. Let me just throw out the three
main
topics of the day.
And then we'll go out the number and they can talk about whichever one they want.
They can talk about whichever one they want.
Except bat fungus.
What's wrong with bat
fungus?
No talking about bat fungus. I'm hanging up on anyone who talks about bat fungus. I'm warning you now.
They're not going to get enough mosquitoes. No. We're all going to get malaria.
Wait till you're weak,
we're all going to die.
All right. The second thing I want to talk about is Libya, because I'm very upset about Libya.
Oh, gosh.
I am concerned. The last city on the way to Benghazi has fallen. Gaddafi's troops have taken pretty much all of the middle territory. I mean, Libya is one massive desert, and then everybody lives along the coast,
right.
Basically. And it's very large. I mean, they're very far apart. You've got Tripoli all the way on the west side, and then Benghazi all the way on the east side. Benghazi, of course, is the home of the rebels. It's where the revolution began. And I fear if Libya doesn't get some help soon, it's where the revolution will end.
Gaddafi, what do you mean help?
Gaddafi has been cruel. He has shot civilians in the street. He continues to do so. Let's face it, the rebels are outgunned.
What do you mean help?
I'll tell you what I mean by help. I mean a no-fly zone. The Arab League last Saturday endorsed a no-fly zone. England and France have endorsed a no-fly zone. I don't want to put troops on the ground, but I do think that we need to be on the right side of history. I would like to see, for once, for all the dictators in the world that God knows America has supported who've done evil and rotten things to their people, for once, I would like to see the United States support a native uprising, one that we did not begin, one that we did not foment, against a truly vicious dictator, not to send troops on the ground. It's their revolution. It should always be their revolution. I don't want to manipulate it. I don't want to control it. But I think if they need some air support, listen, if England and France want to do it, God help them. Go ahead, England and France.
It's impossible, Mark. It's impossible.
I think we need to be on the right side of
history. It's impossible. I mean, I understand your compassion, and I agree with that. But if you read General Wesley Clark.
I did read that. I respect Wesley Clark.
Article.
I voted for him in 04, I should tell you.
Yeah. It's a downhill path no matter what happens. On the other hand, if you read Richard Cohen's article in the Washington Post the other day, one of his daughters was on Pan Am 103. And you can imagine how he feels about it.
Right, I can.
And he made the beautiful point that, you know, when it's one woman, it's a tragedy. When it's a million, it's a statistic. And really a very painful article I recommend reading it. Not that I'm trying to encourage pain, but you know, it is such a complex issue. I don't, unless we got NATO involved.
Well, that's what, you know, I mean, when we're talking about England and France, if England and France and the United States get involved, but that's the heart of NATO.
But no, but you see, you can't do NATO because of Turkey.
Well,
and other
I'm
countries
sorry.
That oppose it. Well, it doesn't work that way.
And yeah, they the can, other, can't they
and the other thing that you're,
veto it or something?
You've got into that Shiite Sunni situation again.
Not
as
Libya.
Well. Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
No, there's different tribes.
There's like four tribes or something.
Yeah,
main
but
tribes.
It's generally a Sunni.
Right. It's a Sunni state. This is, no, not, this is not about religious war at all. This is about a nasty dictator attacking his own people.
It will be with Iran and everybody else around there. It is a Sunni Shiite issue again.
Oh, I don't think it's Sunni Shiite. I disagree.
Wow.
Let me hear what Colin has to say.
I was going to say, I tend to think with this whole thing, what's interesting is that, you know, from the very beginning, really, I would say none of it, you know, for a change, none of it was about religion.
No,
really,
I don't think
so
at all.
There were people who tried to paint it, oh, this group is going to take that. None of it has really been about religion.
It wasn't to begin with, no.
Yeah, it's
it still
been
isn't.
About people basically.
It will be if United States gets involved.
The status quo. But I do think there is some credibility to that argument, that if we get involved, there could be some. Now, let me say
it
was
just a no-fly zone?
Yeah.
Even
no,
if we don't
no.
send a single boot
saying,
on the ground?
Here's what I'm saying. I think if Europe wants to do, if the UN says they're going to do a new no-fly zone.
UN won't do it because China and Russia will never have a dictator, help rebels against a dictatorship
right
for their own reasons.
Right. But,
the UN's not going to help.
But if the European countries through NATO want to do it, I think it could be something where it would be in the best interest, if they do it, it would be in the best interest of all if the United States sits this one out and doesn't get involved in any way.
If the job is done,
we should sit it out and not get involved in any way. I could. We'd be here all day, all evening. Going. I'm sure we could all come up with a million reasons.
But
why.
You know, darling, I remember when people said Rwanda. They said we shouldn't do it. The African countries should.
That was
do
a different animal.
And I remember
totally
when
different situation. Well,
I
totally
remember when people said
situation.
In Kosovo, we shouldn't do it. The Europeans should do it.
No. Remember the big.
And they said the same in Darfur. They said we shouldn't do it. Someone else should do it.
No, in Kosovo, we did do it. With
we
NATO.
Finally did.
With
thank
NATO.
God.
Fact,
with
you remember,
we were a little late.
But it was a huge massacre. One of the biggest massacres was right under a no-fly zone.
Srebrenica.
Yeah, Srebrenica. Yeah, under a no-fly zone.
And as Leslie Clark pointed out.
Did you support what we did in Kosovo? Because I did.
Yes, but through NATO. And the United States wasn't involved until NATO was
so
totally involved.
But you're basically saying unless NATO says go, that if England and France, United States, want to do an action together, they can?
Who is the enemy of... You know, the empire is the enemy in so many people's minds, and including
that
most
is,
people.
But the Libyan people are asking for
most
help.
Most people in the Middle East. It would be fine if Saudi Arabia wasn't there.
The Arab League is asking for our help.
They're not asking for help. They're
sure they are. They said so Saturday.
There's another issue here, Mark, and that is this. When you're talking about the Arab League, when you're talking about the leadership in the Middle East, in fact, it is the leadership in the Middle East right now that is under siege from the people.
Sure,
there is a disconnect.
Which is why
it was so unusual for them to ask for help.
So when
the
Saturday.
Leadership is asking for this, there's still some confusion here, and there's still going to be the U.S. is the CIA is behind all this stuff in the first. You know, there may be people.
Let's talk about what happens if we don't.
There may
help.
Be people who would want the U.S. to get involved so they could. Say, let's say I'm a leader in a particular country. If the U.S. gets involved, if it starts in my country, I can say, see, the U.S., it was all a CIA plot.
You know what
you know what happens if we don't help?
If we don't help, then we have the record of only supporting the bad guys. If we don't help,
that's the record
we only support dictators. And here you have I mean, I don't think anyone disputes. This is a clear uprising. It's a popular uprising. We didn't start this.
Yep.
These are people who are trying to overthrow their leader, and there's going to be a massive massacre in Benghazi. And if we allow that to occur, then it'll be said for decades and decades, the United States only fights to get oil. They don't fight when the Arab people rise up against their dictator.
But that's true. And part of the problem here, I mean, where does most of the oil from Libya go? It goes to Italy. Mm-hmm. You think Berlusconi is going to get in on this? I doubt it. This is the reality of the world. I wish Obama and the United States would at least vocally really come out against Gaddafi.
Not really loud.
I mean, really come out and say, look, this man has to go.
That's what he said.
That's exactly what he said.
But if you just shout
and you don't back it up with even a no-fly zone, aren't you a paper
tiger?
There are
a thousand ways to make things happen without getting
our military involved. What do you say we should do? I mean, we're doing humanitarian aid.
One, push NATO. What, two, push the Arab League and support them.
They do support us.
No, no. Push them to
they
take action.
They can't do it. They don't have the power to do
why
it.
Why can't they do it? What?
They don't have the competence
have
to
the
do
power?
It. The Arab League doesn't have the competence
Saudi
to do it.
Saudi Arabia has the fourth largest air force
that.
In the world.
I realize that.
Don't tell me Saudi Arabia couldn't
all
do
American
something
jets.
If they want it.
They're flying American, yeah, American
right.
planes.
You know. The king of Saudi Arabia is not going to help overthrow the dictator.
No.
And let's face it, he's a little bit shaky
yeah, of
right
course
now
he
back
is.
At home.
Of course he is.
You know, but
that's never going to happen.
If you freeze the assets, if you cut off the
we've
oil,
done that.
If you cut off the oil, stop it. You know, stop taking the oil.
Easier said than done.
All of it is easier said than done. But the point is, if you start at no-fly zone, one, as Wesley Clark pointed out, it's not going to do that much good because most of the problem is from helicopters anyway, not from jets and no-fly zone.
You know what? If we did a no-fly zone and they didn't win the war, I'd at least know, at least everyone would know that America was on the right side of history. We don't have to fully commit to this war. But I do think we need to be on the right side of history.
I think you can be on the right side of the history by getting some of the neighbors there to do something. And if you don't push them to do it.
Yeah, remember the first Gulf War?
I mean, we play it only once.
It didn't happen in Rwanda or Darfur or Kosovo.
Understand something. We play it all wrong here, and it's morally despicable. We play it as if they've got the oil, so we can't do anything. We could say, no, Americans aren't willing to give up a damn thing. But we could actually say, hey, we're not going to take your friggin' oil. Unless you do this, unless you get involved.
That doesn't affect Gaddafi.
We're not going to do that.
Saudi Arabia cannot survive without our oil, without our buying their oil.
Saudi Arabia cannot say. You're telling me that America can't save the Libyans, but Saudi Arabia can. Now you're really living in a dream
world. I'm telling you, you know, there's so much hubris in the American attitude in that we can go in and fix something.
They're begging us
and
to.
And you know what, Terry? Here's the thing to what Mark just said. The reality is the Saudi Arabian military and Air Force is competent enough to enforce a no-fly zone.
Garland?
They're not stooges.
No.
They know what they're doing. However, and they have AWACS. They got it all. They could. Now, here's what I'm saying. But politically speaking, the king of Saudi Arabia doesn't want his people looking at another country, seeing the little people overthrow the guy in
That's
charge, because
right.
he don't want to get
Saudi
those
Arabia
stinking
wants to
ideas.
Pay us for it. I'm fine with it. I mean, I'm fine with Saudi Arabia, Italy.
You know,
they want to pay us back for it. I'm fine with that.
We're mercenaries, then we're hired guns.
But at the end of the day, the people
they pay
of
us,
Libya,
right? And then we come in and we're the bad guys. While
Garland,
they sit,
how is this different from Rwanda and Darfur and Kosovo?
Because it's in the Middle East. That's the difference.
Well, for
Darfur
starters,
is in the Middle East.
All in the Middle East. It's in the center of the Middle East. With every
it's not too far
with
from Darfur,
we've
actually.
Got with Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, et cetera, et cetera,
et cetera. Those are different. Those are wars we began in Iraq.
Yes. Well,
and
if
this
we
is different.
If we went in there, do you think everybody else is going to just passively sit back? All the other Arab nations are going to sit back and say, whoopee, thank
they're
you?
They're telling us. They're asking us to. Formally, they have asked us to. The Libyan rebels have asked us to.
Until,
the Arab League has asked us to. This is very different from Iran.
Until now, the boots on the ground.
You know,
I don't want boots on the ground.
No,
you can't avoid it.
Don't get me wrong here. You know, in a lot of ways, I agree with you. In a lot of ways, I say, you know, I think from the perspective of humanitarianism and any number of other reasons that we should enforce the no-fly zone. Yes, I think that we should. I feel in my heart that we should. However, the consequences and the unintended consequences may be so, you know, they may be so that it would be better if we don't. The unintended consequences are going to be huge in the Middle East if we go in there and we're now involved. Because remember,
that's the third war.
Remember,
we'd be involved
in order to
let's
have
just,
a
let's
no
stop
fly
the other
zone,
two, just to do this.
No,
I'm
listen,
fine with that.
I'm all for that now. I take that trade. But what I'm saying is this: in order to do that, remember, you first start by bombing their anti-aircraft installations. All of the anti-aircraft and radar installations, is the first thing you do for a no-fly zone is you have to strike at anything that could go after your planes.
That's right.
So you start by bombing
the country.
That's
how we did in Kosovo.
Right.
That's exactly
and then
right.
Second, you do flights overboard, flights over. Now some of your planes could get shot down. They got a couple of your pilots. You got to think about now. You're dealing with that. But the long and short of it is, you start by bombing another country. Do we really want to go
you
there?
You know what?
Right
That's
now?
Exactly what we did in Kosovo. Yeah. It was successful. Today, Serbia
is
free.
Two other wars
Kosovo is free. We lost three American
Big
lives.
Difference.
It's
Big
exactly
difference.
What Wesley Clark did,
with
and it
NATO.
Was successful.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's give out the number. and get some real intellect. Well,
we will, but I
want
to get to my third topic. I want to get to my third topic.
Okay, we solved that one.
Let me just say on the second topic before I get to my third, that in my view, if we don't act, we are setting a precedent. Because in Tunisia and in Egypt, the people rose up against the dictator and the dictator left. If Gaddafi shows the world that the best way for a dictator to stay in power is to massacre his own people, which I fear is the best way for a dictator to stay in power, and the world does nothing about it, then every single dictator from now on to the future knows, aha, if the people uprise, I just got to start mowing them
down.
You're
right. I agree with you. I agree with you. If the world doesn't do something about it.
Well,
I'm all for working with the world.
I'm not saying we have to do it alone.
The United States should be standing in the UN.
England and France have already doing it.
The United States should be standing in NATO saying
we can do backup support
for
England and France, but we've got to be on the right side of the
other topic so we can get the phone number around and we can get some people with some sense here in this conversation.
I am mad at Maryland. Now, the whole state of Maryland can
be heard. I'm facing his wrath, Terry.
Do you want to invade Maryland?
89.3 FM. No, I don't think
we just want to
invade Maryland.
Zone.
Over Maryland. Okay, I'm with that.
Over Calvert County. Most
I want Maryland to obey the Constitution of the United States.
Oh, what a ridiculous
request.
I
want Maryland to treat all its citizens equally under the law.
Why
and
should we
I don't think that's too much to ask.
Why should we be different from the rest of the states?
Yeah, right.
Because I hold Maryland to a higher standard than even my home state of Virginia. I do. I do.
Let me tell you why. Checked out your governor lately?
Maryland has a
Jefferson
Democratic
Davis,
governor.
McDonald.
Well, hold on. Maryland has a Democratic governor. It's got a legislature that's overwhelmingly Democratic. In the House, it's like 2-1 Democrats over Republicans. I don't expect Republicans to stand up for civil rights. I don't. I gave up on Republicans a long time ago.
Right.
Frankly, Abraham Lincoln was about the last Republican that really stood up for civil rights.
Eisenhower,
It's been a long time.
It has.
But when my party, when people who call themselves progressives don't believe in equal rights under the law, I think we have to call them out. And I think it was shameful what the Maryland House of Delegates did just recently when you had people who said they supported equality under the law, people like Tiffany Alston, people like Melvin Stooks, people who said, I believe that everyone should have equal rights. And then when it came to a vote, they said, well, I believe people should have equal rights, but my constituents, well, they're bigots. And I got to follow what my constituents say because they and their churches tell them that they don't want gay people to have equal rights. So I got to obey my constituents. And, you know, I got to tell you what this reminds me of. And these are harsh words. But it reminds me of George Wallace. Because George Wallace in 1958 got the support of the NAACP. I don't think he was personally racist. But what happened? He lost to a virulent racist by the name of John Patterson, who had the support of the Ku Klux Klan. He said, I will not be out N-word again. Then he became, his policies were virulently racist. Mm-hmm. And because he wanted to support. Let me tell you something. When you are representative democracy, you have personal responsibility apart from your constituents.
No.
And I would rather have...
Is this news?
I would rather have someone in office that says, I hate blacks, I hate Jews, I hate gay people, but I recognize that everyone deserves equal rights under the law. I'd rather have that person in office than someone says, I love blacks, I love gay people, I love Jews, so my best friends.
And I'm going to do nothing.
But I don't believe they should have equal rights under the law.
They're cowardly.
I have to get myself in trouble. I'm not going to be able to cross the line and go back to Maryland because I'm going to tell the truth about Maryland politics. I know people involved. Okay, here's
it's
the thing about
like
Maryland
Virginia,
politics. Maryland, the electorate in Maryland is fairly progressive. However, the political machine that runs things in Maryland, the Democratic power machine, is kind of an old school Southern centrist to just right of centrist machine.
Reminds me of Virginia.
Okay, so the people in Maryland, you know, look what Maryland's the bluest of blue states. I mean, everybody else goes in a red wave, buddy. Maryland ain't going in a red wave. Maryland is a blue state.
That's why I had hopes for Maryland.
But there's a difference between the people of Maryland and the way they want politics to go. And that powerful machine that's been in power a long, you know the kind of machine that when Terry wants to run, they say to Terry, "No, it's Mark's turn."
Mark, they'll never say that.
You know
to
what
me,
I mean? But you know what I'm saying?
No, they
Mark,
won't. They
Mark
won't,
has been he's
right.
paid his dues.
Right. But
Mark
lying
has
away.
Paid
yeah.
his dues, and now you can't run because it's his turn. He may be an incompetent boob.
Well, now we're talking.
Well, I mean, not that isn't true, but I'm just saying. No, but in reality, so it is that old machine that is a center to just right of center that don't cause too much trouble, don't stir too much of the pot or what have you. And the progressives in Maryland, in the Maryland legislature, are kind of shunned and kicked aside and pushed away. Yeah. Well, because they might cause a ripple or a wave.
What are your thoughts on this?
My thought is, you know, if Garland can't go back, you can come over and stay at my house.
No, I ain't going to Virginia.
Yes, in Virginia. No,
we should all stay in D.C. because D.C. is the most progressive.
You guys, Jefferson Davis McDonald, or whatever his name is,
I think we're all in agreement with this. I mean, I thought they were really going to do it.
I thought they were too.
I thought it was a done thing.
I thought so too.
The only thing,
maybe we were complacent.
You know, my word, as far as I'm concerned, is they're cowards. They're political, moral cowards, and you know, partly for the reason that Garland expresses. Machine, but you and I have total agreement on. I mean, not to have the guts, the courage, the decency, the humanity, the morality.
People who were co-sponsors. That's why, look.
Stand up and say, yes, I'm going to follow through on this.
But think about it. That tells you something. People were co-sponsors
who were for it. Yeah, that's right.
But what happens? That machine comes up to you, a co-sponsor, and says, Mark, you can't vote for it.
Reality.
And look, we'll cut off your money. We'll put all of our money for this other guy, you know, Garland.
Now I don't know. I wasn't there. All right, I wasn't there. I'm not part of the machine. But at least according to the Baltimore Sun, the Washington Post, they're saying it's the role of the black church.
Of course, they're going
to
say
that it's not the machine. And to be fair, many black Democrats voted in favor of equality. The majority of them did, but a lot of them not too far from D.C. in Prince George's County, they were some of the worst ones.
That's sad if that's really the reason.
That's what the Baltimore Sun and Washington Post say. That's what Tiffany Alston says, that her constituents, and her district borders D.C., that's the reason why, that she supports equality, but her constituents didn't. One of the things that I actually love about our show, though,
and I thank you for primarily, Mark, you know, I have been told so many times at WPFW the one topic we couldn't really talk about is homosexuality here on WPFW. And that, you know, we can't talk about it, particularly in terms of the black community or anything else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm really grateful that, you know, the Raucous Caucus have said, nuts, we're going to talk about it.
Okay, let me get
every topic is fair to talk about.
202-588-0893. 202-588-0893.
And we got a lot of callers waiting. We're going to get to all of you right after this.
We don't have
break.
Any calls from Libya, though.
Alice Coltrane was born Alice McLeod on August 27, 1937, in Detroit, Michigan, to a family with deep musical roots. Her mother, Anna, was a pianist and sang in the church choir, and her brother, Ernie Farrow, became a professional bassist. Coltrane began classical piano lessons at age 7 and later studied organ and music theory. In 1959, she went to Paris to study jazz piano with Bud Powell, and she credits Powell and Thelonious Monk as important influences in her work. Coltrane began her professional career in 1960 when she joined the Terry Gibbs Quartet. While playing an engagement with Gibbs at Birdland in New York City in 1963, she met John Coltrane. The couple soon married, and Alice joined John Coltrane's band 2 years later, replacing McCoy Tyner on piano and also playing organ and harp. Best known for her collaborations with her late husband, legendary jazz saxophonist John Coltrane, Alice Coltrane was an accomplished performer, composer, and recording artist in her own right. One of the few female instrumentalists in the jazz field, Coltrane was already a successful bebop pianist and organist when she met John Coltrane in the mid-1960s and joined his band. Inspired by her husband's work, Alice adopted many of his harmonic innovations within her own more blues-oriented piano and organ playing, achieving a flowing style that transcended typical chordic patterns. After John Coltrane's death in 1967, Alice Coltrane continued to devote herself to his idea of music as a spiritual and unifying experience. Eschewing more commercial styles, she went on to create compositions admired for their unique fusion of Eastern and Western musical traditions. In the 1970s, Coltrane founded the Vedanta Center in California, and since that time has concentrated on making and recording devotional music. "Everything I do is an offering to God," Coltrane explained. The results, I leave to God. I am not really concerned with results. My only concern is the work, the effort put forth. Alice Coltrane, master musician, spiritual leader, wife of John Coltrane.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
Welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. We have a lot on our plate. This is Mark Levine, and I am here with
Terry D. Kester
and
Garland Nixon.
And we are the Raucous Caucus, and we've got a lot to talk about. We're talking about Japan.
And we've
got
to add this. And you're listening to 89.3 FM WPFW in Washington, D.C. And we're
Pacifica
on every Tuesday
at 7 p.m.
And then every other Tuesday, we're over at
Where
Ben's
we gonna be next
Door.
Guys.
Next
right.
week, we'll
next
be
week,
at Ben's Next Door.
We'll be at Ben's
and
Next Door.
And the fifth week, we will be at Ben's Next Door.
So the next 2 weeks, we're going to be 1211 U Street. You can join us. You can have a nice chili dog.
And it's my week.
And
Garland's week.
You can come and you go way to the back and you can see us up there and you can meet us and watch us mouth off in person.
I hope people will join us.
I
should mention
weeks.
We have a good possibility. It's not confirmed yet, but a good possibility of Dennis Kucinich joining us.
That'd be great.
So come on down. We've got a good possibility.
So there's three main topics up for discussion. You can go wherever you want as long as it's one of these three topics. If you raise a fourth topic, we're
going
bad fungus is out.
Three is enough. One is the situation in Japan and specifically what it means for nuclear power in the United States. The second question is what, if anything, should the United States do to help or not help the Libyan rebels? And the third question is what are your thoughts on what the Maryland Assembly did in denying gay people equal rights under the law, in denying gay people in Maryland the right to marry? Pick any one of those three topics. Join us 202-588-0893. Yu Chi has been hanging on a long time. Yu Chi, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Oh, we're good.
Okay, look, I'm saying one topic. I'll be very brief. The Libyan situation.
Yeah.
I think one of you guys are misleading. You know, Wesley Clark may have talked about this inedible boots on the ground, but there is logic, and there's flawed logic. If the Liberation Front, the people who liberate themselves are asking us for air cover and no boots on the ground, and we can agree to no air cover and boots on the ground, in addition to the CIA doing what they do, which is to arm them. So now you're coming in from two fronts, and you're strengthening their hand. But to believe, just because someone says, you know, if we do no-fly zones, then we got to have boots on the ground, I would say, why don't you ask them, how do you get from A to Z? And that's a good question. Second, Maryland, look, you think Maryland politicians are political cowards? No, they're Democrats. Oh, yeah, you're a coward. I'm sorry. You know what? They've got into a game, and I'm going to tell you, there's a representative in Baltimore. Her name is Mary Conaway. She made a statement. She said, you know what, in response to whether or not she would support the bill, if the bill looks like it's winning, I think I can support it. But if it doesn't look like it's winning, I'll have to weigh my options.
Well, at least she's honest.
Tell me somebody that has no interest at all and what's best for her constituents.
Oh, my God.
And every interest in playing that game of politics. And that's where they are. And what I do... the American public, because they keep sending these
cowards.
Yu Chi.
Oh, did we lose him?
Let me
say this. I like every single thing that man said. I want him to come back every week on the Raucous Caucus.
Yeah.
Yu Chi, you are 100% right. I got no argument with you.
He made some great points.
I think he was great.
Points.
I mean, Terry, his point is clear. They're not asking us for boots on the ground. I don't want to put boots on the ground. Let's give them what they're asking for.
If you think air cover can accomplish... You know how many times we've heard that?
It worked
air
in Kosovo.
Cover, air cover was going to solve all the problem in Iraq. Remember? It was going to be mission accomplished.
No. That wasn't through air cover.
The
this
whole
is
beginning
different.
Of
you
the war was
Iraq
done,
is a lot
you
more complex
about it
than
is,
a little
it
air
be,
on the
it
coast.
It may be like too late that for air cover to really make the difference.
But I don't know. Every day gets harder. Yeah, I'll grant you that. And that's my concern. But I thought he made some great comments on Maryland.
Oh, he made all around. He was great point.
Terrific. All you got to do is cut off the oil.
All right. Let's go on to Rich. Rich, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Hello. And I'd like just compliment Mark, the first host on 89.3 to make any comments about the tragedy in Japan. Everybody's talking about the nuclear aspect, but you actually have addressed the human aspect. So compliments to you.
Thank you.
I really didn't know what channel I was dialing into because of your pro-nuclear interventionist speak at the beginning of the show. I've agreed with every thing that you said, and this is coming from a right-wing war hawk conservative.
Wait a minute. Hey, you're ruining my street cred, Rich. You're destroying me on this station.
I find that, you know.
We began the war in Iraq. I had to write it down. We began the war in Iraq and Afghanistan and your negative church comments. But I agree with everything you said. However, we should not intervene. This is not our show. Barry should stop channeling Reagan, and he should start channeling Theodore Roosevelt. He waited too long to engage the Libyan Gaddafi. Poor Gaddafi has driven these protesters into the sea, and then our president says we got to drive Gaddafi out of office. So, good Lord, what is he thinking? We should not intervene.
Well, hey, Rich, like I say, you've totally destroyed my street cred at WPFW, and I got to know, I hope you disagree with me on Maryland, because then I can get back some street cred. I
support everything that you've said.
Oh, no.
Except for your two comments. I believe in everything. I have to agree with everything you've said.
Oh, my God. That's the press kind of praise that'll just stab me through the heart. But I do appreciate your call, Rich. I do.
You'll never live that one down in this room,
Mark. No, I really won't. I really won't.
Turn in your card.
Oh, my God. All right, let's go to Terrence. Terrence, redeem me here. Good liberal.
Well, I'm not a liberal or any of them political correct names that y'all have, but I'm going to say this, though. I don't think the United States is in any moral position to stand up before the world and point the finger at Gaddafi or anybody else on this planet, for that matter, to the tune of the deaths that they caused in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. And this government is not honest. It hadn't been honest in any kind of play that they've had throughout any of the course of any of these wars that they've been a part of in the name of democracy. For over 4 million Iraqis misplaced and killed. That's democracy that they want to go. What moral position is this government in to say anything about Gaddafi?
Let me ask you this, Terrence. I was very much, all three of us, of course, were strongly against the war in Iraq. I don't believe in sending boots on the ground overthrowing.
We can go to Afghanistan. We can go to what they're doing over there in Somalia.
I would bring most of our troops home from Afghanistan, too. Let me ask you this, though. We've done so many horrible things throughout our history. Is there any time when you think we should do the right thing and help people who are clearly not being pushed by us but legitimately want to overthrow their leader?
The country has a poor record when it comes to helping, so-called helping people, because if they really want to help somebody, because they don't have to go overseas, they can start right here. They can start with helping these veterans.
I agree with that.
They say, we can bring it home here. If they want so in a rush to help people, they can help these veterans right here.
See, people
they ain't got to go on the other side of the world to help people. They can help. They don't even want to help their own citizens.
There's something inherent here.
About Gaddafi, Bush need to be locked up.
There's something inherent here, you know. People named Terrence or Terry understand. Terrence is a very wise man, and he makes a very good point. The point that Americans really have to realize that the overriding point in this is America today and for decades only pursues its interest, not its defense, not its moral, you know, direction or democracy. It strictly pursues its interest.
Got to add a word there,
and
Terry.
If it's interest,
corporate interest.
Well, exactly, exactly.
Often it's all. And I'm not saying all the time, but all too often it's corporate.
Unless
interest.
Corporate interests are served, they won't do anything.
I agree. It's all too often, but I got to tell you, one of my favorite presidents, Bill Clinton. To me, the war in Kosovo served no corporate interest. It helped Muslims who were being massacred by Christians.
Yep.
That was a pure moral war, and I'm very proud.
And
of
I'll
what
say
we
this:
he did it through.
And we did it through air power alone.
Right. And we can get back to our callers.
NATO,
but one thing
but
I will
anyway.
Say, and I mean, I certainly agree with everybody who talks about, you know, we got a pretty nasty history of doing some, you know, unsavory things when it comes to supporting the wrong people. But then, too, you can't look at what happened in the past and make all your judgments on if you see something that's right or wrong
right.
today, regardless of what
no
happened in the
what
past.
No matter what you've done in the past,
you
if you see a way to do the right thing, you should do
but
the
I'm
right
not,
thing.
But again, I'm kind of leaning towards saying that we shouldn't.
All right.
But we got callers that know more than I.
Let me move on to Martha. Martha, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
excuse me, I had a cough. Hi, well, I agree with Mark about Libya, and it crossed my mind that in exchange for the air power, we could say that we wanted amnesty or safe passage for the mercenaries, and ahead of time set up some place where Gaddafi could go, because apparently he did some good things in the beginning. He was Pan-Africanist and stuff. And then also some guarantee that other Africans and people of color who are mistaken for mercenaries would be protected. And in that way, you know, because it seems to me that the council that's been formed, that's declaring itself the government, if we wait too long and those people get killed off, then what will happen? Maybe eventually a lot of countries will move in and try to make a government, yeah. But why let the government that might already be have formed get killed off, as well as lots of other innocent people slaughtered?
I'll tell you, Martha, I 90% agree with you. I really appreciate what you have to say. She's absolutely right about the mercenaries, because a lot of these people are from very poor African nations. They're paid by Gaddafi, yep, to be there, and let's help them go home, because this isn't their fight. They don't need to be in the fight. They don't need to risk their lives. And she's absolutely right. There are people who are mistaken as mercenaries, simply workers from Chad or Niger that just happen to be there, and they're getting, and it's so. One of the things the United States is doing, and I am proud that we're doing, is we're helping Egyptian workers go home. We need to help the mercenaries go home as well. So I agree with her on that. I also agree with her that if the people in Benghazi get killed, it's a terrible precedent.
I think it's too late already.
The one place that I disagree with her is that Gaddafi did some good at some time. I can't think of much good he ever did.
I think the real problem here is, you know, if the United States had acted immediately, really quick.
I argued
really
for it.
Quick.
I called my congressman.
You know,
then it could have made a difference. Now we've blown it.
And the country's
supposed
to fall apart. Because
very sad.
Even if Gaddafi, quote unquote, wins, there's not, the genie's out of the bottle. His country's falling apart, and he's not going to have anything.
I refuse to give up. Listen, after the massacre in Srebrenica, a lot of people said, you know what, the Balkans, Kosovo, Yugoslavia, it's all a mess. There's nothing we can do. Yeah. They've been massacred. We still helped save millions of lives in Kosovo. I haven't given up the fight. Let's hear what Al thinks, though. Al, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Well, thank you, Raucous Caucus.
You're welcome.
As a footnote, I think all this chortling about a very serious matter is raises concern.
Well,
that's what we do.
We tend to be chortlers.
We can't help it.
We tend to laugh about serious things.
Palabar chortling. You know, everybody's happy eating chili dogs.
That doesn't mean we're happy.
Getting killed.
There's bitter laughter.
Let's talk about
too.
Libya. We don't need a no-fly zone. We have a $300 million unit called the F-22. That can outfly, outmaneuver anything Gaddafi has in his antiquated military
arsenal.
Okay, we have the F-22, which has not seen combat. This is the perfect arena for what the American taxpayers spent, $300 million a copy. Talk to Lockheed about it. It's a hell of a unit. It can outmaneuver. We don't need a whole lot of gas, a lot of tankers. We don't need to blow up their ground defenses. That aircraft can be deployed so much, you know, for the so-called
I understand what you're saying. There's some credibility. Here's the problem. A $300 million aircraft can be taken down with a $10,000 or $5,000 SAM, surface-to-air missile. The reality is, if you're going to send those pilots up there flopping around over at Libya, whatever they're in, F-16s, F-18s, or those, whatever, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to take out the surface-to-air missiles, because a SAM can, I mean, you know, there's no plane yet that can outrun those things, fly at like Mach 2 or Mach 3 or something insane. If they can fire off surface-to-air missiles, they can shoot planes down. So if you're going to do a no-fly zone, you have to ensure they can't fly a surface-to-air missile, or you're
going
down, or your planes are going to get shot down.
Al, I love you, but I think you're being naive. It just ain't that simple. I think, Mark, you're being naive. It ain't that simple.
You know,
it is the most complex.
You left me out. Am I being naive? I feel left out.
No, you're fine. My
feelings were hurt for a minute.
Part of being an idealist is a willingness to be naive. I am naive enough to believe that Maryland can support full equality.
If you were an idealist, you would be in the streets with me.
I am
buddy.
In the streets. I'll go to Wisconsin with you tomorrow.
We're headed to Wisconsin.
But wait a minute. Hey, you guys are a little too happy. I find that unsettling.
I'm sorry. You know, one of the things I love about the Raucous Caucus, and everyone except Al seems to like, is that we can be lighthearted even when we talk about some very, very difficult topics. Sometimes it's the only way to do it.
You know what? Look, I was a police officer for many years, and let me tell you, there's times when you just gotta, if you don't have the ability to laugh, that you'll end up in
crying.
You know,
a fetal position.
That's what we
shot,
should do. Obama should
up.
Do an impersonation of Gaddafi.
Don't go there. Let's hear what Andrew has to say. Andrew, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
very much. WPFW is the greatest radio station in the world.
Is.
I grew up in Australia listening to Duke Ellington and Miles Davis, and my favorite album features Alice Coltrane. You just had a feature with John Coltrane's second Live at the Village Vanguard.
Yeah.
But I really want to talk about No Fly Zone over Libya.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sure.
And I remember in the 50s there was the Suez Crisis, where in Egypt NASA was trying to take the Suez back from the British.
Right.
And NATO, you said before that, you know, if we wait for NATO to decide whether we should go into Libya or not, back then Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, said to the British and the French, give up Suez, forget about it, it's going to cost too much blood and treasure, and we need to move into the modern world. So NATO worked because Eisenhower was advising the British not to be stupid. And I think that in this case in Libya, I think NATO may again tell its members, including the U.S., not to be stupid.
Why is it stupid, Andrew? We're going to lose?
You don't think
we can achieve the goal?
Well, America has already experienced several interventions in which what they thought was going to happen did not happen in the end.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so it's probably best to try and listen to people for a bit longer.
Hey, Andrew, let me just ask you this. Are you actually calling from Australia?
No, I'm calling from Arlington.
I was just wondering.
Australia, Arlington, it's always
I was going to say that's definitely our furthest caller.
Skype could do
it. Well, it could be.
Yeah,
it could be.
With Skype.
Well,
yeah,
I disagree with you, Andrew, but I do appreciate your call very much.
Well, thank you very much.
Brilliant call.
I know Garland and Terry agree with you, so you got 2 out of 3. Let's go to Moses. Moses, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, turn down your radio, Moses, because we're hearing it back.
Yeah, it's kind of freaking us out a little bit.
Turn down your radio and then talk to us. You there, Moses?
Yes.
Okay, Moses.
Great. Go ahead. What's your thoughts?
All right. My question is, I was turning my speakerphone off.
We appreciate
it. My question is, if we're extending rights to all citizens of Maryland,
right,
and then we had people who wanted to practice polygyny, does that right get extended to them, that they can now have multiple wives?
No. And I'll tell you why. Let me tell you the difference, all right? Polygamy, what gay people want is equal rights under the law. Everyone wants the right to marry one person, get equal benefits under the law. If you can marry 2 or 3 or 4 people, you can get 2 or 3 or 4 times the benefits. 2, 3, and 4 don't equal 1. The idea that everyone gets to choose one life partner to live with, be recognized by the state, to live and love and carry out a family, that's equality under the law. 1 doesn't equal 2.
But
1 doesn't equal 3.
What about religious freedom?
Who decides that that's equality?
Yeah.
And what if one foregoes so far? Benefits.
Oh, if you forego the benefits, listen, people in private arrangements do whatever they want. I mean, I guess it depends on,
I thought there was separation of church and
state. Well, exactly. At the end of the day, I don't think that the church should determine what the state law
is. And the other thing is, when people draw a correlation between gay marriage and various things. Well, if they marry, if gay people can marry, what about polygamy or the other one? Oh, well, the next thing we'll be able to marry a kangaroo. People draw correlations with things that have no relationship whatsoever.
Right.
There is no relationship between those two things.
My suggestion is not necessarily that there's a relationship, but if we're advocating that citizens have rights, then me as a citizen of Maryland should have the right to marry a second or third or fourth or fifth, preferably not, but I should have the right to do that.
Here's
now,
the difference, Moses.
Let me tell you
the difference is. If you deny a gay person the right to get married, you are saying that a gay person cannot marry anyone. Because I don't know even the most radical members of the right-wing church who advocate gay people marrying straight people. When a gay, I don't know any preacher that says, oh, gay people, don't marry the man you love, marry my daughter.
Because those
marriages are not good.
And here's the thing. Gay people aren't asking to marry several people.
No.
They're not saying they want to marry. They're not asking for polygamy.
They're asking for
the right to marry one person.
I think what you guys are saying is that they are asking for their right to marry. Now,
right.
I personally don't care and don't want to even be involved with. I don't even know why 2 gay people want to be married.
Well, I don't know why you want to be married. I don't know you.
Anybody would want to be married.
I don't know you. I don't know why you.
Let's not go there.
I don't know why Anna Nicole Smith wants to marry some 84. Oh, yes, just for money. Yeah, that's why she wanted to marry. But look, at the end of the day, I don't think that you or I, Moses, or anyone in America has the right to tell anyone else who you can or can't marry. Moses, would you like your government telling you, oh, I'm sorry, we don't like your wife. You got to marry somebody else.
There was a law that black people and white people could not marry
until 19. 1867.
There's the whole famous Virginia case.
Loving V. Virginia.
Yeah. So
I mean, Moses,
know,
should the government be telling you who you can and can't marry?
That's his point, isn't
we
it?
We lost him.
But that's his point, isn't it? That the government shouldn't be telling. And if you want to marry three people and they want to marry you, why should the government be able to tell you
my,
no?
My problem with that is there's a benefits question. Because,
benefits?
Yeah, because when you marry someone, there's all kinds of benefits. There's social security benefits. There's death benefits.
So wait a minute. So
if you want to designate one person as to getting all the benefits, and then the others you marry
You're talking about a family, too? If you can split up a family in terms of benefits as well? I mean, you know.
Well, no, I'm just saying there are benefits under
but
the law.
But if somebody defines a family with three wives, you know, why don't they have the right?
Yeah, well, I mean, look.
Intellectually and socially and politically, it's an honest question.
And you know what I'm saying is it's a reasonable philosophical question to be discussed, right?
Yeah.
However, there is no correlation between that and you know, and get, well, my problem is people you know, it's like saying, well, yes, but shouldn't a fish be able to marry a potato? It makes as much sense because there is no correlation.
Where do you come up with these?
Yeah, well,
metaphors.
I can't think of two things further apart. There's no correlation between.
You've never eaten fish and potato? Fish and chips? Come on.
Yeah, but they're not going to get married.
They are
SpongeBob and Patrick? I don't know, you know.
No, I look, equality under the law. You know, we could talk about multiple wives and husbands later, but the very first we need basic equality
Mark is
under the law.
Mark's leadership, we're going to talk about polygamy soon.
But right now, Michael's got
something
to talk about.
I want to hear a polygamist come on air and say how they want equality, because I think they want more than equality. I think they want two or three or four. Let's go to Michael. Michael, welcome to the Rock Caucus.
How did we get distracted on that?
Okay, glad to get in a few words here. First of all, the right-wing guy who called up, I'm not surprised he agreed with everything you said, because I turned on the radio when I got in my car. I thought I was listening to a right-wing station instead of WPFW.
Which is right wing?
First of all, I don't know what is all this reverence about NATO. NATO is basically an anachronism dominated by former colonialists and neocolonialist powers who have done nothing good for Africa or the Middle East and no fly zone. Somehow that is sacrosanct. That is a violation. That's an act of war. You are inviting war.
Yeah.
Clinton came up with this no-fly thing, and everybody accepts that as it's okay to no-fly zone. That is not war.
Michael, do you want Gaddafi to prevail?
That is war. It's violation of a sovereign country.
Do you want Gaddafi to prevail?
Peace. It was no peaceful demonstration like Tunis and Egypt.
It wasn't peaceful?
It was an armed rebellion from the start, and it was by Arabs. And one of the big factors in it is because of Gaddafi's stand for Africa.
So you're pro-Gaddafi?
It fueled an Arab-African division, and that is a big part of it.
And you don't believe Gaddafi has killed unarmed civilians?
He probably has killed unarmed civilians. He probably has. It's called, America would call that collateral damage, and that is acceptable here.
So you support Gaddafi?
It was an armed rebellion from the beginning.
And you support Gaddafi, then?
Well, I don't support invasion of America or any European powers into any African or
but it
Middle
sounds
Eastern
like you helped the rebels lose.
And especially a country which has oil. That is suspect, and I'm surprised they haven't rushed in there with salivating to get their hands on it.
But it sounds to me like you hope the rebels lose. You hope that Gaddafi takes over Benghazi and kills the rebels.
Why do you hope they lose?
What are their issues? I haven't
freedom,
seen it.
Democracy.
All I've got is some anti-Gaddafi propaganda, which is propagated, demonizing people, which is this media's job. And when you look behind that, it's a different story.
I would say Gaddafi's done a pretty good job of making himself look pretty bad, realistically. I mean, I understand people who have an issue with the colonial powers, and it is very legitimate.
Amen.
That being said, every situation is different. Gaddafi's a pretty bad dude. Now, that being said again, you know, I'm hesitant for the U.S. to go venturing into military adventures into other countries.
See, I
agree with what Mark's saying in principle, but geez, we just can't afford
it anymore. To me, the progressive range is we all, I think I think most decent people in the world want to see Gaddafi fail, want to see the rebels succeed. Some people, like both of you, think it's not that our help would make things worse.
I just don't want us to get involved in another military adventure.
I don't think many people in the world are pro Gaddafi. There's not much of that.
But I think, you know, unfortunately, we've got ourselves caught in a no-win situation, and it really is a no-win situation.
I agree with that. I mean, to try to propose
that there is an easy solution to this.
Let me throw one thing in there, and that's the problem with spending $700 billion a year on the Defense Department.
We spend more than that.
No, yeah, well, okay. Well, I'm just with spending the amount, a trillion, whatever we spend. If you got a big hammer, you're tempted to hit somebody with it all the time. And because we have this powerful military force, we're always looking around the world thinking, well, we could easily stop this. We could easily stop that. We could easily do this. And that's the problem with having it. We're tempted to use it, and we always use it.
We have two more callers, and I'm going to try to get to both of them. Let's go to Kay. Kay, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Yes, love your show.
Thank you.
Kay.
And we love you.
We do.
Okay, great. I'm calling about nuclear power, which has always terrified me. I guess I'm old enough to remember, you know, Chernobyl and Three Mile Island, where I won't go into that now, but physicians for social responsibility and concerned scientists. You know, there's a Dr. Helen Caldicott who used to come on, I believe, Amy's show some time ago, said that nuclear power plants are just too dangerous to take the risk. And the other thing is that businesses are not willing to fund them. They're extremely expensive.
They are very expensive.
And they can't. Insurance companies won't insure them.
Because of issues of liability and startup costs and, I guess, maintenance. And so I just want to put that out. And I think people should call their congresspeople and write to whitehouse.gov.
Amen.
It's really, really dangerous.
With UK.
We put some of the money we were planning to use to fund the nuclear
solar
power plant fed with, solar, wind, geothermal.
Thank you,
with
Kay.
That's an expensive with way UK. To boil water.
And we've done nothing about disposing of the spent fuel.
That's a whole other issue. Before we close, Tesfa has been hanging on a long time. I want to make sure you got your call in. Go ahead, Tesfa.
Libyans being treated the way they are treated, and for us to have seen lots of suffering under dictatorships all over the world and complaining about it for too long, and now watching Gaddafi wipe out people who rose up with empty hands and some of them with old guns is unbelievable. How do we live with ourselves and talk to our children years later about us watching a people being wiped out and a dictatorship to continue after 42 years of rule?
Tesfa,
this is unbelievable.
I hear
we
you.
Should do everything to get this guy out of power and have elections and democracy in Libya.
Thank you for your call, Tesfa. I hear you. I agree with you. You've heard
I agree with you, too. It's the question of how, and it's the question of when, and it's the question of where. And just using the damn American hammer with all that hubris and uber-patriotism is just plain naive.
I think this is something that calls out for intervention. But we're not going to resolve this here. An hour goes very
not
fast
military.
Here on the Raucous Caucus. Garland, if people want to find you, how do they do that?
They can simply Facebook me, Garland Nixon.
All Facebook, right. Terry D. Kester, Facebook.
You can Facebook me too, Mark Levine, MARKLEVINE.
I will post this show
like I post every show.
Not of you, is it?
Up at MarkLevineRadio.com. If you missed any aspect of the show, if you missed any aspect of the show, you can listen in there. You can call it. You can make your comments.
When are we going to talk about bat fungus?
Never.
That's next week.
I want to thank David Kelly. I want to boards there. I want to thank everybody.
Next week.
We'll be at Ben's next door. And next up is Brother Ah, the Jazz.
See you next week.
Did it all. Very good.